From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a series dealing with the very heart of the Christian life, the matter of prayer. In the course of these broadcasts, Dr. Cairns will examine the nature of true prayer, providing scriptural answers to such questions as, does God answer all prayer? Can Christians be guilty of the wrong kind of praying? And what are the hallmarks of prayer that gets through to God? Basing his remarks on Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, the words of the Lord Jesus, Dr. Cairns begins this important series with a message entitled, Prayer God Answers. First, however, he deals with today's hot topic, Scotland Returns to the Dark Ages.
In the history of Protestantism, the name of Scotland ranks as a giant. When it was first touched by the Reformation in the 16th century, Scotland was a barbaric backwater, remote from civilization. True, it boasted some men of learning and eminence, and its prior history was one to be proud of. But it was because of the advent of Protestantism and the liberating truths of the gospel that Scotland took its rightful place among the nations of Europe. Patrick Hamilton, a young man of royal blood, went to Europe to study, was found by Christ the Saviour, and returned to his native land to spread the good news of saving grace, and that without having to pay the Pope and his minions. Despite his royal family connections, Hamilton was put to death by the Roman Church, thus becoming Scotland's first Protestant martyr. He was not the last. Another was George Wishart, a preacher of saving grace whose ministry had a profound effect on his fellow countrymen. As Wishart saw that he was going to be killed for his faith, he bravely set out on the way that he knew would lead to death. Beside him was a young man who had been a Roman Catholic priest, but who had come to faith in Christ as his Saviour and Lord. He was determined to go with his mentor, even if it meant death. But Wishart refused, saying, "One is sufficient for a sacrifice." Thus, John Knox was spared for future service for Christ in his homeland. In many ways, Knox was the father of the Scottish nation. A man of indomitable courage, theological acumen, and deep faith, he lived in such close communion with God that Mary, Queen of Scots, the Pope's great hope to hold on to Scotland and regain England, famously said that she feared the prayers of John Knox more than 10,000 soldiers. Through his preaching and leadership, Knox saw Scotland become the home of Presbyterianism, a country whose people entered into a solemn covenant with God to remain true to the gospel of his Son. Scotland gave the rest of the world an example of what the gospel could accomplish in even the most barren of soils. It furnished a model not only in church government, but in public education. By the time he died, Knox had seen the gospel triumph to such an extent that Scotland was a Protestant nation, a haven for the preaching of the gospel. That's not to say that the fight was over. No, there were many battles and many more martyrs. But Scotland, ever after, had a distaste for popery and a deep attachment to Christ's crown and covenant. Imagine the horror, then, of the headline that, judging by church attendances, Scotland is now more Roman Catholic than Protestant. More people there still claim to be Protestant than Roman Catholics. But the profession means nothing. Most of them are not Christians and never darken the doors of a church. Roman Catholic attendance has been boosted by an influx of Polish immigrants, and this gives the Church of Rome its lead in church attendance. Having said this, it's a dark day when the land of John Knox is being again overwhelmed by the dark religion from which he, by the grace of God, delivered it. More Romanism means less gospel light and less gospel freedom. Ecumenical Presbyterians in Scotland are not alarmed. After all, they are now fundamentally at one with Rome in belief and practice. Not because Rome has changed to come into line with Scripture, for it hasn't, but because they have sunk into apostasy. As David lamented, "How are the mighty fallen? The shield of the mighty is vilely cast away." Spiritually, Scotland is returning to the Dark Ages, and the rest of the world's once Protestant nations are right there with her.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the subject of angels. In 5 articles, various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church deal with such matters as what are angels, what is their ministry, as well as the topic of Satan and the fallen angels. Among other articles of interest in this issue, there is a focus on what the Lord is doing in the country of Peru. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. We're going to read together the verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. When ye pray. Christians pray, but so do heathen, and so do hypocrites. Now, obviously, hypocritical or heathen praying is not good and acceptable praying in the sight of God. It's not true prayer at all. True prayer is the prerogative of Christians. But it's very possible for a Christian to pray like a hypocrite or like a heathen. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ issued this solemn warning and these solemn instructions to his disciples. A Christian can sink to the level of a hypocrite or a heathen when it comes to prayer. Now think of that. For in that fact, I think you'll discover some very important things about prayer. As I've indicated, not all prayer is good and pleasing to God. Even time spent in prayer is not necessarily time well spent. More time spent in meaningless or offensive prayer only makes that praying more meaningless and more offensive. You will discover also that the thing that is most likely to hinder us in true prayer is our sin, our own sin. The illustrations which the Lord Jesus Christ uses in this passage of Scripture clearly prove that. And chief among our sins is our pride, our desire to be admired by others, even for our praying. There's very few things in this world more destructive to praying than that. Our sin, then, is so insidious that it can poison the holiest exercise that a Christian may engage in, and it may follow us right into the holiest of all. Now, in the light of all that, obviously what we need is to learn the art of true prayer. We need to learn to pray in a way that pleases God. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with here in Matthew chapter 6, in a very simple and in a very straightforward way. And he's teaching us many, many things, but fundamentally, he's showing us that prayer addresses our Heavenly Father in the faith that he knows what we need, and he answers the honest, humble petitions of his children. Now, I want us today to consider this and to try to learn what the Savior's teaching us on the vital subject of prayers that God answers. I don't think that there are many things in this life that are more intimately and immediately of concern to Christians than the subject of praying so that God will answer. I believe that once we learn what the Bible teaches on that, and once that is applied to our hearts, many of the other things that appear to be problems of great magnitude will fall into place. This is fundamental to everything a Christian believes in, everything a Christian feels, and ultimately everything a Christian does. Now, as we consider it, we find that the Lord Jesus does three things. First of all, He warns us what to avoid in prayer. Then He goes further and shows us how to succeed in prayer. And finally, He assures us that we will be heard if we pray as He instructs. Now let's take the first thing first. The Lord Jesus Christ warns us what to avoid in prayer. And the warnings are two. First of all, He warns us to avoid praying like hypocrites. Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. Now, you will remember, I have said this on many occasions, the word hypocrite is a word taken from the Greek drama. It described an actor. Really, fundamentally, a hypocrite is an actor. He's a person who is putting on an act. He's a person who is putting on a front. In the Greek drama, the hypocrite was the one who put a mask over his face with the obvious intention of representing a character other than himself. And so this is taken into the New Testament, and it's used in a spiritual way. We are told not to pray like hypocrites, people who are putting a mask over our faces to appear in some other character than that which we really are. Because true prayer, if it is to be anything, must above all things, first and foremost, be real. You remember what said of Elijah, that he prayed earnestly. Literally, he prayed in his prayer. I think that's one of the most telling phrases in Scripture on the whole subject of prayer. When Elijah went to the place of prayer, what did he do? He prayed in his prayer. He did not put a mask on. He did not go through some meaningless mumbo-jumbo. When he got to the place of prayer, he prayed in his prayer. He really prayed. That's the meaning. That's something that no hypocrite has ever done or can ever do. It's impossible. You may as well talk about blazing fire being cold as talk about a hypocrite praying real prayer, praying in his prayer. And that for various reasons. Hypocrisy, according to this passage, is always marked by flesh. Whatever else motivates a hypocrite to pray, and like everybody else, he may pray when he's in fear, or in need, or in trouble, or in a certain situation where he may think it's expected. But whatever else motivates a hypocrite to pray, flesh is always to the fore. You see, hypocrites pay too much attention to man. They want men to know that they pray. It's not enough that they pray. They must have men know that they pray and have men think that they are great men of prayer. They glory in the reputation of saintliness more than in saintliness itself. They have devotions, but they draw attention to their devotions. They publicize their religious exercises. That is flesh. The Lord Jesus is clearly condemning it. Now, we do need to be careful here. What the Lord is condemning is not all public prayer. That would be to make a mockery of Scripture. The Lord Jesus called His house, which is the place of public worship, He called it a house of prayer. That, by the way, is a very telling thing. Because if there's one thing you can say about most churches today, it is they may be a house of preaching, they may be a house of partying, they may be a house of entertainment, they may be a house of many things, but the last thing you could honestly say about most churches nowadays is that they're houses of prayer. But Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer."
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.